Good morning. Kalimera. I want to welcome our visitors today. If you're new to our community, please fill out one of the white cards in the pews in front of you and give it to one of our greeters, who I'll introduce at the end, and we would love to add you to our parish family. Several announcements this morning. Right after we finish in here, we're having our annual Greek Independence Day luncheon and program. This is being sponsored by the Kalogiannis family, as they do every year. We're very thankful for that. All the proceeds from the luncheon will go to our parish, so please come and break bread or eat some fish, I think, in honor of this holiday of the Annunciation and Greek Independence Day. We have several services this week. Tomorrow morning is the Feast of the Annunciation. If you are Evangelia, Evangelos, Angela, Angelo, and many of you are celebrating your name day tomorrow, we'll have Divine Liturgy at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning for Annunciation. Tomorrow evening at 5:30, we'll have the Great Compline, as we do on the Mondays of Great Lent. On Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we'll have Pre-Sanctified Liturgy. This week, the dinner is being sponsored by our Sunday school parents and students. Please come to Pre-Sanctified if you'd like to have an evening of worship and fellowship. After the dinner, we're having the third installment of our unit on the Beatitudes. If you haven't attended yet, it's okay. They don't necessarily work in a sequence. You're free to jump in at any time. And if you've missed any of the previous two presentations, you can look on our archive services, where it says live services on our website. We have the services live, and after they're done, they're archived. And the talks from the last 2 weeks have been archived in there, so you can find it on our website. Friday we'll have the third salutations to the Virgin Mary at 6:30, and then next Sunday evening we're hosting a Pan-Orthodox Vesper service in the Tampa Bay area. Every Sunday evening of Lent at 5 o'clock there's a Vesper service at one of the many Orthodox churches that we have. This year we're going to be hosting one next Sunday. We actually haven't hosted one in my entire time here, and I decided after 15 years it was time to step forward and volunteer. So we are having a service. We'll have clergy of many different jurisdictions here next Sunday at 5 o'clock. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. He's not going to change. Once she's decided something, she isn't going to budge. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many people have had these thoughts. Lest we start an argument in the church right now. But if we're honest, we've all had these thoughts in our marriages, with our kids, maybe with a friend, maybe with a coworker. Why do I know this? Because during this time of Lent, when I sit down and talk to many people, and actually do it throughout the year, lots of people say this. So if you feel this way, he's not going to change. She's not going to change. You're not alone. Lots of people feel like this. There are lots of people who don't feel like they have safe spaces in which to talk. If they start to talk, they get an eye roll or start an argument. Life would get a whole lot easier if we learn the art of creating safe spaces in which we can talk and be heard. Where we could talk and not yell. Where we could be heard and not tuned out. Where we could speak freely, knowing that if we overstep, we can take a step back. Where we could forgive as easily and quickly as we get frustrated. Today's gospel lesson is about the healing of a paralytic. As I reflected on this gospel passage, I kept coming back to the unknown backstory of how four friends brought a paralytic to Christ, and because of that, the man was healed. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened before the story, what events led up to this. As I thought and thought about this, I realized we could probably make a feature-length movie on the backstory for how this man got healed. What we do know is that there are five people in this story. One of them was paralyzed. four of them able-bodied. We don't know how the man became paralyzed or how long that they had all been friends. We also don't know whose idea it was to go to Christ. Was it the paralyzed man who had heard about him? Or one of the friends, did they suggest that they go? There are four things for sure that are in play in this story. One of them is a safe space in which to talk, because someone had to have had the idea that Christ could make this man walk. Someone had to have the idea to scale the walls of the house, and no one shot these ideas down. Can you imagine if four of us, five of us were together, and one of us was laying on a mattress, and the other four were going to try to get that person up the wall of the church, over the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and let that person down? Can you imagine the person who would suggest that? What the response would be? That's crazy. We can't do it. What would people say? We're going to destroy the house. We might get sued. Somebody had to have had the courage to say something and know that it was a safe space that they were talking in, that they weren't going to get rejected or ridiculed or put down. The second thing that had to have been in play here is trust. Imagine being the paralyzed man, being carried through town, hoisted up the walls of the house, thinking and wondering how much worse it could have gotten for him if they had dropped him. Imagine, again, we try this exercise here, able-bodied people. Who's going to volunteer to lay down on a mattress that four of us are going to lift up the wall of the church? I mean, you'd have to be very, very trusting. I'd be scared out of my mind. What if they drop me? What if this doesn't work? What if the weight doesn't balance right and the mattress slips and I go down with it and break other things? The third thing that hadn't been in play here is teamwork. We aren't told which friend led the charge up the wall, but all the friends had to work together, for sure. And the fourth thing that hadn't been in play here is encouragement. Think about how much negativity could have been in this situation. A paralyzed man, perhaps he didn't think he could be healed. He either encouraged the friends to take him, or they encouraged him to go, but somebody led the charge and was encouraged by the others, or the whole story would have stopped. When they met a roadblock, these friends finally decide to go on the journey, let's take our friend to Christ to be healed, and then they get to the house where Jesus is, and they find the whole place packed, so that they can't even get in the door, the gospel says. Like, there was no knock on the door, let us in, there must be room for a couple more, there wasn't room for anybody. And the only alternative they had was let's scale the wall of the house, go over the roof, and cut a hole and drop them in. Imagine how discouraging this could have been. Someone could have said, it's not in the cards today. We're not meant to go in there. If we were, there would be an opening. And someone else said, no, we have to get in there. We will just make an opening. Imagine how the voices of encouragement and discouragement could have gone back and forth here. Because we know that, because we get in situations like this in our life all the time. We get into some area where there's a roadblock, and someone says, forget it, it's not going to happen today. But every time we somehow get the square peg in the round hole, so to speak, it happens because of encouragement. These four elements are missing from many corners of our society today. I see how easily feelings get hurt among teenagers and adults. Feelings don't get hurt as easily, or maybe at all, if these four elements are at play. If there is a safe space in which to talk, if there is trust, if there is teamwork, and if there is encouragement. I see how easily feelings get hurt among adults, in marriages, with our children, with our parents, if there isn't a safe space to talk, if there isn't trust, if there isn't teamwork, there isn't encouragement. Excuse me. You know, I talk about encouragement a lot because this is a serious thing. This is something we all have a need of, and it's something we can all easily give. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I want to focus, though, on the safe space in which to talk. Because when there is no teamwork, trust breaks down and people feel discouraged. And when people feel discouraged, they need a safe space in which to bring their feelings. In relationships, whether it's a marriage, with your kid, with a friend, with a coworker, you need to create some boundaries, and some boundaries that can't be crossed. What do I mean by that? Let's say that I have a friendship, and I create a boundary that says, I'm committed to this friendship. So we're not going to cross the boundary of, I'm never going to talk to you again. We have this sort of safe space. And because we have a safe space, we can share whatever we want to share in there, confident that we're not going to cross the boundary. When you come to confession, as an example, there is an implied boundary. I love and respect you before you start. I will love and respect you when you are finished. There's no worry. Imagine there was no boundary. I said, you say what you want, and I'll think what I want. Then you'd be worried. If I say something honest, we may cross the boundary. You may say, I never want to talk to you again. But when you put a boundary there, it's a safe space to exchange ideas. Because there's no scenario in this box that has you getting kicked out of the box. Lots of people don't have these kind of boundaries. And what happens when you don't have these kind of boundaries? You walk on eggshells all the time. Imagine you go to work and your boss had the attitude, well, depending on how it goes today, I may keep you or I may fire you. You'd be scared to go there. But if your boss says, I'm committed to you, I like the work you're doing, now you're free to have a bad day. Because you know the boss isn't going to fire you. And the boss maybe knows that you're not going to quit. So there is a boundary there. And because there's a boundary, there's a safe space in which to operate. I encourage you in your relationships, be it in your home, in your marriage, children, friends, or coworkers, to establish boundaries so that you have a safe space in which you can talk and explain your ideas and share your feelings. Because we all feel like the paralyzed man at some point in our life. We feel stuck. And the only way to get unstuck is to work through the issue. And if you're afraid to work through the issue because someone might yell and scream at you because there's no boundary there, then you're just going to stay the way that you are. And that's not good. That's not what God wants from us. We all play the role of both the paralyzed man and the four friends. We need people who will care about us and encourage us. We need people we can trust and count on. We need people we can work with. And we need people that we can talk safely with. We are all the four friends. We know people who need encouragement. We know people who need someone to talk to. The ratio of encouragement to discouragement, ideally, is 5-1. You hear 5 encouraging things for every 1 discouraging thing that you hear. We know this is not how it works in society. Just about everyone is at a deficit when it comes to encouragement. If you're getting as much encouragement as you get discouragement, if you're 1-1, you're at a deficit. If you're 3-1, you're at a deficit. Now we also, on the flip side, have to watch what we're saying. If we're saying 5 bad things to 1 good thing, we are creating deficits. So we have to say 5 encouraging things for every discouraging thing we say. When you have to say something discouraging or negative to your spouse or to your child or to a friend, and let's be honest, we all have to do that. We have to supplement that with 5 positive things. We have to create a safe space where it's okay to be negative occasionally because people know they're going to get the positive that they need and that they crave. We have to create rules that provide a safe environment in which to talk. We all need our friends to carry us. And if we all need 4 friends to carry us, then we all need to be carrying at least 4 other people. So a question to meditate on. Who are you carrying? Are you in anybody's top 4 when it comes to carrying? And who is carrying you? Who are your top 4? And do they know that they're your top 4? Are there people you can safely tell that you are paralyzed and need help? And when someone tells you they are paralyzed, you give them a safe space in which to talk. The miracle in this story was obviously granted by Christ, but it was made possible by these four friends. Getting to Christ requires others. It also requires encouragement. Did you encourage or discourage others to get to Christ, to worship, to pray? There is a backstory to all of our stories, good or bad. If things are going well, it's probably because there is a safe space. And if things are going badly in your life, it's probably because there isn't one. So focus on safe spaces this week. Purposefully encourage. Do your part on that ratio of 5-1. Be bold like these four friends. They took a chance and a friend was healed. Take a chance and see what kinds of relationships can be healed in your life if you only approach them with safety and with encouragement. Let me go back to the original line of the sermon. He won't change. She won't change. Imagine if that was everybody's attitude. Imagine if that was the attitude of these four friends. Imagine if that paralyzed man said, "Take me to Christ, I can change." And the friend said, "No, you can't." Or if the four friends said, "Let's take you to Christ, your whole life can change." And the man said, "No, I can't change." The story wouldn't have happened. Christ couldn't have worked that miracle. The lesson here, or one of them, is we can change. I can change, you can change, anyone can change. In fact, the Christian message of repentance is all about change. I can change with God's help, with the encouragement of friends, and when there's a safe space that makes change easier. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our greeters today are Dwight and Juana Ford. I saw Juana is over there. And Dwight, I saw Dwight. And our ambassador today is Elaine Halkias. So see Dwight. Dwight's right there. Juana's right there. His beautiful wife. And Elaine, my daughter's here. And they will get you connected to our church. God bless you. Have a great week.